And so I noticed this week when I was watching Father Chris's sermon that guy behind you is like a half beat off. Yeah. Come on, man. Hopefully it's not too distracting. I apologize for looking a little scruffy today. I have my alter ego, Captain Diamond Dave, the notorious pirate, has an appointment in a couple of weeks to talk to some school children about pirates, which they're studying now, and I wanted to look my best for them, but I didn't want to be scruffy at my daughter's wedding. When you stand for those pictures, you want to look good, because those are around for a long time.
We're not offended.
Okay. And I apologize to you that I wasn't able to join the worship service last Sunday. That last chance to sing some Christmas carols, but I was at the wedding. As I said, it was a great wedding, a fantastic marriage. I'm sure it will be. And I was telling Father Bill this morning, I used to love Heather and Tony a lot until they started sending me photos this week of themselves on the beach in Jamaica. And here we are in the midst of winter storms. And just stay there. Actually, I do. I love them. And the wedding was great. I won't go into a whole lot of detail, but one of the great things for me is that the person who presided over the wedding was an Anglican. And so I had somebody to talk to at the dinner about things other than the wedding. We had a great time. And then they had the music, and I got to dance with Heather for that father-daughter dance, and danced. I also danced with Belinda. That was great. We don't do that much. So our bar hopping days are behind us. And I danced with my mother one dance. That was, and she wore me out. But the great thing about getting two large families together like that is that, it offers two things. One, an opportunity to get COVID. But it also offered us the opportunity to be together with all five daughters and their families, all 12 grandchildren. In the years gone by, during the Christmas season, we've had all of them come to the house, and every year we would take a picture of the grandchildren sitting on the steps going up. And, it kept getting bigger and longer, and I hope we're about done. They're 12. Don't want to have to go to the landing and then turn and go up the other steps. But we haven't been able to do that since the pandemic. And so the one who was being held as a baby the last time we did it is now 3.5 years old. So as it turned out, the dinner was at the Elks Lodge in Knoxville, and all of their Christmas decorations were still up. There was still the big tree. And so we were able to eventually get all 12 of the, it's like herding cats, all 12 of them around the tree, posed, and a photo. And that was very important to us to be able to have that. And I know group photos are important in families. I'm sure you all have them. You have them at reunions, you have them at marriages. Everybody will pose at a confirmation with the confirmand, the ordination, and baptisms. I cannot tell you how many photos I have posed for around the baptismal font. You guys too. And I'm going to show you one. I actually had to sit for makeup once for a photo at a baptism. And the reason was the Army was putting together a recruiting brochure, and this herd of photographers came, and they wanted to get pictures. The hardest thing to recruit into the chaplaincy are rabbis and imams and anybody liturgical. And so now get over here and see if we can do that in a way where you can see it. The guy at the font down there who doesn't have white hair, this is, I posed for that. And I don't remember the baby's name, but I remember it was the Putman family. And then my model hands right there. They had to get the liturgical guy. I happen to be the only one available. And there just aren't that many. But those photos, I think the only other person that has one of these is my mother. That's right. Oh, give me a bunch of those. I'm sure the ones she gave to my aunts and uncles are long gone. The important moments in our lives, you've got those snapshots. Your graduation, whatever it was, your confirmation. And important for us and important for those whom we love. And in our text today, Luke gives us a snapshot that's very important to all humanity, past, present, and future. It's important in the life of Jesus and in the ministry of Jesus. Luke has us gather on the banks of the Jordan River for the baptism of our Lord. Now, time moves quickly. Jeepers. Now, I was thinking that looking at my grandchildren, but whoa. Last week, Father Chris was with 12-year-old Jesus in the temple. And that's where you all were. And then here it is a week later. We're on the banks of the Jordan watching Jesus as an adult at his baptism. And John the Baptist, last time we saw him, well, we didn't see him. He was leaping for joy in his mother's womb. Yeah. And now, on the Jordan, on the banks, you know, you think about it in your mind, all of us have a picture of what that baptism was like. We do. We know all the parts. We know all the players and the people. But what we have is a blend of all four Gospels. And when they make movies of the life of Jesus, it's always a blend of all four Gospels. You know, in the first chapter of Mark, and when you read Mark, you need to sit down and buckle your seatbelt and put on a crash helmet. Because you're going to get jerked like you're on the tilt-a-whirl. Mark does the baptism in three verses. It's very quick. Quick and to the point. Jesus is baptized. The heavens are torn open. A dove descends and a voice from heaven speaks. And then off to the wilderness. Matthew has all the details of Mark, but more. He has a conversation between Jesus and John about who should baptize whom. You're familiar with that. Yeah. You come to me. I should be baptized by you. No. And then you go to John's gospel. And one day Jesus is passing by where John's baptizing. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God. Says that to Andrew and an unnamed disciple. And they follow Jesus. The baptism is not recorded in John, but all the details are there. And then today we're in Luke. And note that there is no description of the actual baptism. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was open. The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Luke sums up the baptism in four words. Jesus was baptized too. Almost as an aside. The versions of Jesus' baptism are different. But together they give us a fuller picture of what this baptism is about. More of a three-dimensional look at it. And that's the image we have in our head. And that's great. In the early 1980s, some of you may remember this, a new camera was born in Japan, and they were trying to sell it in America. A lot of people invested in it. They thought it was going to be a big success like the Polaroid Swinger had been. Those of you who are not old enough, go home and look that up. It was the Nashica N8000. And I remember looking at it and being fascinated by it. It took pictures that were three-dimensional when they were developed. It had a technology called, it was quadroscopic. It had four lenses on the front of the camera, and each one of those brought in light from a different angle. And so when it, you were taking four photos at once overlaid on that one piece of film. Now, the problem with it was you had to send the film off to be developed, and there was only one place it could go to be developed. And it wasn't too long till Americans said, well, we're not waiting for this. We got the Swinger. We got Polaroids. We can get them instantly. It was a flop. A lot of people lost money. But it was an interesting camera. From four different angles. Just like that. Did you ever think of the gospel? The gospels are quadroscopic. We get it from four angles. And we had that 3D image of Jesus at his baptism. And though the different stories or the different gospels tell it a little, you know, with some variations, there are some universals. One is that Jesus does present himself for baptism. And there is an emphasis in all four of the presence of the Holy Spirit descending from heaven. And there is the voice of God, the voice of the Father, the descent of the Spirit, and the Son. Now, you talk about a family photo. The baptism of Jesus, we have the revelation of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I remember in seminary, there were some guys in class that would ask the question that probably everybody was thinking, but you let him go out there and step on the landmine. And so we're studying this, and everybody points it out. Oh, yeah, Father, Son, Holy Spirit here. And so he said, so where else is the Trinity in the Bible? To which Dr. Biedenbaugh replied, every page. Every page of the Bible is a Holy Trinity. But this was an important moment, an extremely important moment. This was the time. Last week you heard Father Chris tell you about Jesus at age 12 in the temple. And at age 12, Jesus could have begun his ministry. But the time was not right. It wasn't the time that God had ordained for it to begin. But now we are at the absolute right time. Everything is in accordance with God's will. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are here to inaugurate the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus. Not that it wasn't there all along, but this is a turning point in the life of Jesus as ministry begins. God's timing, as Father Chris said last week, is perfect. And Jesus is all about his Father's business. And it begins there in the waters of the Jordan River. Now, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And so folk have always wondered and asked why Jesus, the man who has no sin at all, would be baptized. Why would he present himself for this baptism? And that comes up in the discussion between Jesus and John in the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus says it's to fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. And there had been debate for 2,000 years as to what fulfill all righteousness means. Some interpret this as Jesus indicating that he must be obedient to his Father's will. And that's true. He must be. And that's part of it. This is obviously his Father's plan. But others see it as much more. Some emphasize the word, small word, all righteousness, as an indication of what is beginning. If this is the process that will make all people righteous. Jesus had no sin, but he is totally identifying himself with the sins of those he came to save. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul wrote that to the Corinthians. And generally, when we quote that, we're talking about the salvific action of Jesus on the cross. And I was reading this week, read a lot this week, of Roman Catholic scholar Joseph Ratzinger. I don't suppose you all know that name. Joseph Ratzinger went on to change his name a little later to Pope Benedict the 16th, who is now Pope Emeritus. But he wrote a massive 3-volume work in his scholarly days. And all 3 volumes, the title is Jesus of Nazareth. The first volume is only about the infancy narratives. The second volume begins with the baptism and goes to the passion, and the third volume is the passion. But in that second volume, he said, Jesus' baptism was an expression of his fundamental submission to the will of God and his complete identification with sinners. Christians, he said, need to view the baptism of Jesus through the lens of the cross. He wrote, he inaugurated his public ministry by stepping into the place of sinners. His inaugural gesture was an anticipation of the cross. And he pointed out that in his ministry, sometimes Jesus used the word baptism to talk about his coming crucifixion. Remember when James and John asked for seats at the right and left hand, and Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm to be baptized with? Jesus waded into the Jordan, embracing our sins. And we will, of course, do that certainly more fully in a more definitive and final way at the cross. But he is identifying with us. So if someone asks you, ultimately, why was Jesus baptized by John in the Jordan River? Because he loves you. And he wants to make sure that you are included in the family photo. A lot of my week, this past week, was spent in photography, filming some classes. And my job with my camera, we had one camera that you keep tied on the teacher. And then you have the guy with the wide-angle lens who can do both. This wide-angle telephoto, you can be there on the teacher and you can pull back and look at the people in the class or the room, and it keeps it from being a talking head when they edit it. You know, just you can switch back and forth and look at various things. The sound stays the same, but the picture changes. And that wide angle, I was thinking as I was doing that you know, when you're trying to get everybody in the picture and you start saying, all right, everybody moving closer. Yeah. act like you like each other. Yeah, you on the end and all of this. There is no wide angle lens that is wide enough to take a photo, a family photo of the body of Christ, the family of God. All those who have been baptized. I mean, my goodness. We won't see that photo till we get to heaven. I mean, it's massive. We were baptized into Christ, and consequently, we're baptized into that family and into the ministry of Christ. We're baptized into the death, or the life, death, resurrection, ascension of Jesus Christ, and we are baptized into his ministry. And just a minute, Father, we all told you a minute ago, we'll have the renewal of our baptismal covenant, and we're going to do it as a family. It's going to be like we're looking at our family album. No, we were all baptized. And that some have called that sacrament, it's more than this, but some call it the sacrament of belonging. The sacrament of belonging, because who you are is changed in that baptism. That doesn't become the ultimate identity for you anymore. Who you are, your ultimate identity now is whose you are. We are Christ. We belong to Christ. We are part of that life, part of that ministry. And he led the way through the waters, and we follow. Now, if it's a sacrament of belonging, I want you to think of our world right now. I don't know that it could be any more fragmented than it is. I mean, of course, there have been worldwide wars and things, but there's just a tremendous amount of hate and distrust and anger that seems to be global. We have a fragmented nation. And people who are fragmented because they're clinging so tightly to their identity as in a political party or associated with a person or not associated with this person, or talking about vaccine or not vaccine or mask or no mask. And there's animosity. It's not just disagreement. And people can get wrapped up in that. We can get wrapped up in that. That being our identity. I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. I'm a max person. I'm a no mask person. I'm a vaxxer. I'm an anti-vaxxer. And I want to say, I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. Amen. I belong to Jesus Christ. And that's a step above world, step above nation, a step above communities. Not that those things aren't important. They are. But in that kingdom, in that family, the prevailing power is love, not anger. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear is usually the root of anger. Earlier, Jack was talking about the people wearing masks or not wearing masks in Asheville, and some guy standing outside a store. What was he yelling? They're making you wear a mask in there. And in the overall scheme of eternity, what does that have to do with your life? It's their store. If they want you to wear a mask, then wear a mask, or don't go in there. There's no reason to yell about it. But people get so wrapped up in this, and they get the chain wrapped around their own axle, and it's just vehement. If they could take a step back and take a breath, especially those who are Christian, and say, I'm first and foremost a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. I belong to Jesus Christ. Let's talk from there. Because if you talk from there, it's going to be love. It's going to be caring. And being baptized into the body and looking at the world, and I'm not saying, and I'm looking from a superior position. Not at all. But to say to the world, there is something that can unify us to help us move past this. And that would be us bringing them into the family photo. Through the waters of baptism, into the kingdom. And let's talk to each other as loving members of the kingdom. Fellow citizens, fellow children of the one true God. So I would admonish you and I admonish me as we renew our baptismal covenant to not just say the words, not just read the words, but to listen to them and make them part of yourself. And as we go out into the world, if we do the things that we've covenant to do, then people will see the difference in us. And people will yearn for that. And so let's be about, we're baptized into the ministry of Christ, and that ministry said, go ye therefore unto all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you, and I'm with you, even to the close of the age. So let's be about that. Amen.